The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
And hello again, everybody. This is Chris Ruisi, and welcome to another episode of Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. That's me again. Good thing I have to keep reminding myself who I am. It's coming up on Memorial Day weekend. So we've got another great show today. My guest is Tom Searcy. He's a successful entrepreneur, owner, and founder of Hunt Big Sales. I love the name. And through his company, Hunt Big Sales, Tom has helped clients accelerate the growth of their businesses and land more than $6 billion in deals. Now, our topic today is to explore what it takes to be an exceptional sales professional. Nothing happens in a business until a sale is made. We'll talk about also how you can achieve a consistent and high level of success. We'll discuss how the world of sales has changed and what the implications are for companies over the next 3 to 5 years, the characteristics of a high-performing salesperson, how to hunt. I love it. How to hunt for larger customers. You know, the big ones come just as easy as the small ones, and they're not as aggravating. And how a CEO can create an explosive growth culture in their company. We're going to talk about personal motivation as it relates to success and much, much more. So I want you to pay close attention, take notes, and as usual, there'll be a recorded version of the show up in a couple hours on my show site. And we want to encourage you to call in with questions. And the number is 1-866-472-5790, or to email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. And for those of you who are shy about hearing your voice on the radio, you can, as I said, email me. And whether you call me or email me, you're going to get a copy of my book and some Step Up and Play Big chocolate for free. So let's talk about our guest here. Let me read you his bio. Tom is an expert in sales strategy. He works with thousands of executives around the world each year through his workshops and keynote speaking. His company, Hunt Big Sales, he has helped clients accelerate the growth of their businesses and land more than $6 billion in deals. That's just a lot of money. Tom is the co-author of Whale Hunting, How to Land Big Sales and Transform Your Company, and the author of RFPs Suck. Oh, I love that too. How to Master the RFP System Once and for All to Win Big Business. His newest book, How to Close a Deal Like Warren Buffett, which came out in 2012, is another one of your must-reads. He has more of his wisdom in the book, and you can access more information about him from his online columns for Forbes, Inc. and CBS Money Watch. And as the show progresses, we're going to give you his website information so you can get smarter. So, Tom, how are you? Thanks for being on the show today.
Chris, thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be a part of the conversation.
Great, great. You know, we picked Tom as a guest because by what he does and how he's done it, he has stepped up and played big, and that's a shameless plug for my book, which is available on Amazon. So, Tom, we want to get into this. You can have shameless plugs too, Tom. It's okay. Because what we want to do is make it a win for you, a win for our listeners, and a win for me. But, Tom, how did you get started in all this?
Like a lot of folks, I kind of backed into what my experience is. I was working for a very fast growth company and came to be at a very young age in charge of it. And part about being in charge of an entrepreneurial company, it was only a $10 million company at the time, was that, you know, the expectation is you're going to grow it. And so I started looking. My background, Chris, was actually to come up through the operations side of that particular business. And so yep. I understood how things worked. and I understood the efficiencies that you could get out of a stage process and understanding how to measure things along the way, increase your quality, increase your yield. And I got to sales, I started listening to a bunch of people telling me it's all about relationships, you know, there's a certain amount of magic, you know, don't fall short on the idea that some of it's just luck, it's a numbers game. I got all this stuff, and as an operations guy, none of those were acceptable answers for me. I mean, I couldn't believe it was going to be magic, you know, and so I just started applying the processes and saying, you know, and what I found is that success, Chris, is 90% process, and it's 10% magic. You know, and magic is right time, right place, right person, right problem, or, you know, the fact that you just have a connection or whatever. But everything I've been told up till then was that success in selling larger accounts was 98%, you know, magic and 2% paperwork. And if their boss would stop insisting on so much paperwork, they'd have more time to do their magic.
If I only had, that was a famous expression, if I only had,
yeah,
more
right,
time.
Right. So I started off just trying to grow companies, and I got a chance to grow four of them. But what I learned was you could build a process that intentionally, I love the title of your book, Step Up and Play Big, you could build a process that would allow you to land larger and larger accounts intentionally, not just waiting to be lucky. And
okay.
So, you know, so that's, and so I did that through these companies by building measurable processes and systems.
Let me ask you a question, Tom. We often hear the expression, you know, great salespeople are born, you can't make them. If I'm hearing you correctly, if they have the right process and follow it, they can be made.
They absolutely can be improved and dramatically
okay.
improved. So you can take, let's just, a client of mine or a company who was a prospect who became a client did an interview process with a whole bunch of my past customers, and they were trying to figure out, whether they should hire us to come work with them. And so they didn't ask for one or two. This is a crazy thing, Chris. They didn't ask for one or two companies to interview or executives. They asked for 10. And they came back to me, and when they hired us, I said, well, why did you hire us? And they said, one of the things that kept coming back was is that you guys take average salespeople and help companies to get extraordinary results. And
okay.
we don't want to get rid of any of our salespeople. And most of the other people that are in this business, they want you to get rid of all your salespeople and start over. And your answer is, no, your salespeople aren't probably the problem. The problem is probably your systems or your process. And so what we figured out, of course, was that even average salespeople, you know, if they're given a better system, this is very similar to sports, right? Where, you know, football, where you take, or baseball, where you take good people, but run correctly according to a good process and a good strategy, can get extraordinary results. Otherwise, the guys with the biggest budget to hire the best talent would always win the World Series. And that's not always the case.
Okay. Tom, tell me, who's an ideal client for you?
You know, the companies that we work with and do the best have similar qualities about them. The first one is that they know they've got a great product and service, and that they're doing well, and they've landed at least one whale. And what we call a whale is an account that is 10 to 20 times the size of their average account or represents more than 3 to 5% of their annual revenue. So that's kind of what a whale is. So they've had a whale, they like whales, and they just feel like they're stuck because I've got this great product and great service, but I can't seem to beat the bigger players out in the marketplace when I'm selling against them. And if I could just get my message better delivered, if I could compete more effectively against those big players, well, mm-hmm. then I would grow my business dramatically. And we keep finishing in second or third in opportunities that we should be winning. And so, size-wise, normally our clients are anywhere between $5 million and $250 million in annual revenue, but that's a scale issue. The more important thing is that they know that they can win, that they've won in the past, but they just don't know how to replicate it again and again.
Okay. Is there a common set of traits or activities that companies do with respect to sales that hold them back?
Oh, yeah. You know, Chris, you asked, you know, it sounds like a small question, but it's really a big question. I'll try and kind of tighten it up as far as my answer goes.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. First is that the world changed in the course of the last, I mean, we all know it's changed, but in the world of sales, we sold about the same way for about 30 to 50 years, depending upon what industry you were in. And in the last 5 to 10 years, some huge things have happened, and you know what they are. They're globalization, mobilization, and digitization, right? Those three things have changed the way business has moved. Unfortunately, you got a bunch of folks that are still running companies that are operating underneath the old model, the model that worked for 30 to 50 years of hire, you know, great salespeople who've got good databases, lots of connections, experience in the industry, and know how to make a lot of friends. And that's what we keep hiring out there. And when I see companies do that and they carve up their world into territories and then they give quotas out, what I see is organizations that are playing to stay put, not to grow. Oh, they put a number out there. They say, let's grow by 5% or go out and get them. But they don't have a process or a system. What they really do is they're just trying to hire better and get better performance out of their people by giving more incentives and programs. And so those are the kinds of qualities that you see in organizations that are not being successful. Conversely, your organizations that are being successful are becoming very, very targeted as to what kinds of companies or what kinds of opportunities they want to go after. And they've got a series of qualities, just like the question you asked me. So they're very, very careful about what they hunt, and then they've got a team approach to how they're going to go land that particular piece of business.
And when they're hunting, I often use the right fishing. I use the fishing analogy. I used to fish a lot, where you put out a spread of bait to attract the desired species, and you're constantly evaluating how the bait is being pulled through the water, how is it attractive enough to for that one bite. You know, you're hunting for the bite. It's a similar analogy from what you're telling me for the companies that do it smartly to know who they're looking for and how to bait their hooks, so to speak.
Well, you know, it is. I agree with what you said, but let me just pivot it a bit.
Sure.
When you look at, you know, Harry Potter and all these and the Hobbit and all the rest of these things, they talk about dragons, right? And one of the things that I've got kids, and so I've heard or watched all these things. And what you look at it is it's almost impossible to get into a dragon because they're covered with all these scales. And what you're looking for is the spot inside of that dragon's scale where there's a scale missing. There's a spot that you can get to. Whereas we would normally put out, and when we're fishing, we put out a particular kind of thing to attract people to us. When you're hunting whales or dragons, whatever you want to talk about, those opportunities, you're actually looking for a spot in them that you can identify that says, that is the problem that company has, and I know what that problem is as well, if not better than they do, and you aim your message at that particular problem. Because when you're hunting whales, it's not so much about attracting them to your processes, your products, or your services. It's about solving a problem that they clearly have. And that means that you've got to know a lot more about the marketplace of your customer and prospects, and a lot more about the problems of your customers and your prospects than in the past, where we would just know a lot about our products, our services, and our solutions.
Okay, I got you. Well, we're coming up on a minute before we have to take a break. So we talked about the changes that have taken place, Tom, in the past, and maybe we'll have to carry this over into the next segment. But I want to talk about the implications that those changes have on organizations, especially the sales organization within companies, over the next 3 to 5 years. So hold that thought, Tom. We're going to come back in about 30 seconds. So everybody stay there. This is Chris Ruisi on Step Up and Play Big. Our call-in number is 1-866-472-5790. And if not, you can email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. And I'm here with Tom Searcy of Hunt Big Sales. So stay there. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book. Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome back. We're here having a good discussion with Tom Searcy, actually an excellent discussion. In that first segment, we covered a lot of ground. And we ended the first session with wanting to come back now to talk about all of the changes that have taken place in our industries that have impacted sales, globalization, technology, and so forth. And what does that mean for the chief sales officer, the CEO of a small to mid-sized company? So, Tom, let's kind of dive into that a little bit.
Well, you know, one of the things that has shifted, and of course, the digitization, mobilization, and globalization really accelerated this, is that what used to be sold is now bought.
Right.
And so the shifting of the selling to the buying, because now the power, you know, the research says that out in the marketplace right now, whether it's business to consumer, business to business, before a customer has a meeting with a salesperson, they're already 57% along the way to making their decision. Now, all that means is that they've done the research online, they've talked to other people, they've seen the categories and the responses, they've read blogs about whatever the product or services that you're offering, and they maybe have looked you up on LinkedIn, they've looked up the company's website, they've done all of this work, and so the question is are we selling or are we being bought? And that's a huge shift. Over the next 3 to 5 years, that 57% is only going to go up, and what it means for us is that on small transactional deals, the little deals that are out there that are what sometimes salespeople used to sell in their territory sales, when they go and they go on their milk route and they go meet with all of their current customers and say, hey, what do you need and what's your problems and what can I do to help you out? Those issues, that's going away. Those people are not looking, those buyers, those prospects and customers are not looking to talk to a salesperson to be sold. They know what they want and they're going to they've already made their decision. So I guess going forward, one of the pieces I would make is that if you really are paying as an owner of a business, or if you're working as a salesperson, what you're going to see is less and less commission for smaller opportunities because the cost of sale has shifted now to the cost of messaging and marketing, which means mm-hmm. that people are going to buy things online, which means there's going to be less money available to pay commissions, and because there's less work in the selling side of it because more of the energy has been moved to the buying side. So that's the small transactional sales that are out there. The middle-sized sales are being pushed very strongly towards either a procurement or a purchasing or an RFP process. It's a structured approach so that a company who is buying a new product or service of a mid-sized range for their business can say later on that they followed the right rules and that they did an apples-to-apples comparison between companies. We've seen a dramatic increase in the last decade in the use of procurement, purchasing, reverse online auctions, RFP, RFQ, RFI kinds of processes. So, you know, if you sell small things, you're really not selling. You're really trying to facilitate through, you know, digital or other mechanisms the purchasing. If you sell middle-sized deals, you're going to spend a lot more of your time dealing with structured purchasing processes by the larger companies who are out there in the marketplace.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the third one. Going forward, next 3 to 5 years, really good salespeople are going to have to be in the space of solving big problems for big people, and that means selling bigger deals, because that's where the commission will be for salespeople, because that's where the real difficulty and challenge and value is of having an effective professional salesperson and sales process will be those bigger deals. And they're going to squeeze out the cost of sale in all mid-size and small-size deals. The company who is paying salespeople is going to squeeze that out, and the price will go down because, candidly, globalization, digitization, and mobilization is really commoditizing, even though it shouldn't. In a lot of cases, it is commoditizing what's being offered in the marketplace.
Okay. So let me ask you a question then. You say in the future, the salespeople have to be focusing on solving big problems with big deals. A good salesperson today, what should he or she be doing to prepare for that so that they can be as effective as possible?
Great question. And I'm going to give three pieces to the answer. Answer piece number one, they need to be spending their time becoming an expert, even an authority on their customers' markets, competitors, regulations, circumstances. If you want to go sell big deals in the future to big companies, you have to speak the language of their problems, not the language of your product or service or solution, but the language of their problems. So if you want to invest time in getting smarter, get smarter about your customers' products or marketplace and problems. And what we see a lot of salespeople do is that their answer is, well, I kind of know what I do, and I know what my market is, and I know what my customers are like. Well, almost every industry out there is under huge change pressure right now, which because they're under huge change pressure, technology shifts, competitor shifts, regulatory shifts, you cannot say that the information that you had from a year ago is even relevant or valuable. So that's the first thing that salespeople need to be doing, is investing more in getting known, understanding that. Second thing they need to do is that they need to become known in those customers' marketplaces as an answer provider. Now, I say an answer provider, not just a solution provider, meaning buy my product or service and that'll fix things, but really being known as an authority that says, whatever you're doing in your industry, Mr. Customer or Prospect, that has to do with this area of expertise, you want to call me or you want to email me because I'm the person that people come to as being the most knowledgeable and valuable and helping you. And every time you call me, it doesn't mean I'm going to pitch you something or I'm going to sell you something. I'm just having to be the person that knows more about whatever your problem is. And so you're going to earn that credibility, that trust, based upon your value, not based upon your relationship skills. And these senior buyers, they don't have the time. Even if they liked you and wanted to get to know you, they can't come play golf with you. They can't come out to dinner with you. They can't go to football and basketball and baseball games with you. They don't either have the time or they have governance rules that says that they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing that salespeople have to do is they have to trim back their pipeline to those opportunities that have the greatest potential winning. You gave a story right before our break about the market, over break, about a particular customer that you knew, where the marketing person that they had had this very big pipeline, and then 90 days later, they had nothing. Here's my history, Chris, because I've gone all around the country working with all sorts of different companies. If I walk into a location and I look at the pipeline, typically, if the person's been working for that company for longer than 18 months, the person has the shortest list of accounts in his or her pipeline has the greatest potential that they're going to actually land those deals in that pipeline. And the one who has the longest list is the one who's more than likely going to miss his or her numbers.
Okay. That's a very interesting approach, but it makes the world of sense because they're not diluted. They're not fighting 100 fires. They're fighting 10 or 12.
That's right.
It's how much energy they can direct to the task at hand. So just for the point of those listeners out there, I asked you, you know, based upon what we see coming down the pipe, the pipeline for salespeople today to be ready to be able to solve big problems and close big deals, the three things that they need to do is first become an expert and speak the language of their customers' problems and challenges. Second was to become known in the marketplace as an answer provider, not always looking to pitch something, but providing credible answers to earn credibility and trust. And it's all going to be based on the value they offer. And the last piece was to learn to work effectively with a trimmed back pipeline of better quality prospects than an overflowing pipeline where there's a fair amount of that are never going to get addressed properly, and you're going to waste time and energy. It's those three things, right, Tom?
Absolutely right.
Okay, so based on that, let's take the next question then. You know, what other skills and characteristics are there or should high-performing salespeople have?
You know, I get asked this question by CEOs quite a lot because, you know, they look at what their filter was in looking for who they thought was going to be a great sales rep in the past, and now they're finding that that's not producing the results based upon what you and I talked about earlier. So here's some of the qualities that you're looking for. First of all, you're looking for someone who is a great facilitator and collaborator. Now, that's not just not just some little fluffy human resources kind of a term. I really am looking for somebody who can work with two or three or four people from the buyer's side of the house and two or three or four people from our side of the house to get them to work through a complex solution or complex problem and get them to work in that collaborative way effectively, which means you have to facilitate people. You have to bring those people together. You have to organize them. You have to kind of keep them on point. And so this isn't about the salesperson who can speak the most frequently and the most eloquently. It's about someone who's better at making certain that everyone else is speaking effectively and getting things done. Second thing is I want someone who can speak to senior executives on a peer-to-peer basis. You know, if I'm going to go solve big problems for big people, you have to be able to talk in a language and at a level that is a little higher in the organization. There's a phrase that we use oftentimes which says, you get sent to whom you sound like. So you get sent to whom you sound like. If you're not able to have that C-level or senior vice president level conversation, speaking to them in language about the problems that they have, you'll get delegated down, which we all know what happens when you get delegated down. You're not going to really be able to move the process along and get people through all the way to the end of a very, very large purchase. Third thing they have to be able to do is project management. These bigger deals have lots of moving pieces. And that means that, you know, the old idea, right, and you and I know this, Chris, is that salespeople aren't very good at the details. You know, they don't like to be bothered by all the little pieces. They don't kind of assign the deal and throw it over to customer services or operations or whatever to handle it. I'm sorry, but that world's gone. You know, the really now as the facilitator and as the person working with the executive sponsor, you also have to be moving all the pieces along through the process, and that means you have to be project management.
Okay, gotcha. You know, I was thinking about what you said. I saw a quote the other day. It's a Navy SEAL quote. It said, when people are under pressure, they don't rise to the occasion. They sink to the level of their preparation and training. So, and it's true. And that's really what you're talking about is, you know, great salespeople, great anything, great leaders, whatever, always spend the time investing themselves, you know, doing the things that we're talking about here to make themselves better all the time. You're always investing in yourself. Well, this is going real fast, and it's real good. We're coming up on our next break, so I hope you're taking notes. I've got 3.5 pages so far. And stay there, and we'll be back for our third segment in about 90 seconds.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big. Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And welcome back. This is Chris Ruisi. We're now starting our third segment. We have one more after this. I hope you're all getting as much out of this as I am. And with here my guest, Tom Searcy of Hunt Big Sales. I want to ask Tom a question about something I read in one of his newsletters. Hey, Tom, before I ask the question, how can people get on your list to get your newsletter?
You know, the easiest way is just go to huntbigsales.com and sign up. Comes out every week. It's about 150 words, so it's a fast read, but it really kind of hopefully covers one good nugget a week. And I don't know about you, but if I can get one good nugget a week, that makes a big difference over time.
Oh, sure. I mean, I often ask you, if you can improve yourself 0.5% every day, and I wasn't good in math, but at the end of the year, that's a big number.
Right.
And you got to look at it that way. But one of the ones that you wrote recently talked about losing integrity and breaking the trust with your prospect or customer, which gives your competitors an advantage. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, I work with a number of sales process research companies, and so I have my own background, but I also had the number one reasons why companies leave long-term vendors and suppliers, and I had the data to back me up. And really, you know, the thing is that your competitors are constantly circling your customers, right?
Exactly.
And
yep.
You know, so they haven't gone, and so your customers fight them off on your behalf. Oftentimes, they don't even tell you that they're fighting them off. They either don't take their calls or don't respond to their emails, or they won't take an appointment with them. But why do they start? Well, they start to oftentimes because you opened the door, and you did it, and there's a number of ways that you can do it. The first way that we do it, and you open up a chink in the armor, and these guys weasel their way in. And when I say weasel their way in, I'm talking about your competitors. The first one is you stop closing the loop. You know, I don't know, Chris, I'm married, and now I've been married over 16 years, and when I was courting my wife, I was pretty good and make sure to open the door for her in the car, in the house, open, you know, seat her at the chair, and et cetera. And at one point, my wife kind of took me aside and said, you know those things that we did when we dated? She goes, you may have forgotten, but I haven't forgotten. I liked all that. And I was like, oh, gosh, I better kind of improve my performance here a little bit.
I think your wife may have talked to my wife.
I know how to only some things you should only have to be told once, and that was one of them for me.
But yep.
Here's the thing, we used to when we were courting a client or a prospect, we followed up on every email. Hey, I just want to make sure that you got the email that I sent out, or we followed up with a phone call. Says, okay, hey, I'm sending I sent you a document, or you should receive something by Federal Express. I wanted to go ahead and make sure that you received that. What that person felt like was they were getting a lot of attention to detail, and they knew that we were keeping our eyes on that. Well, guess what happened? Sometimes we send off an email right now, and we don't follow up for a week or so and to find out if they got the email, and their answer is, I never got that email, and I really needed it. Or, no, I never received that package, or I didn't get, I didn't keep track of your phone call. Well, your competitor isn't making those mistakes. They're on top of that. And so second thing is that one of the top reasons why your competitors are getting in is they're bringing new ideas. When we first started, we were trying to acquire a new customer. We were always bringing the, hey, have you thought about this? Did you look at that? Did you see this article? I don't know if you watched this video, whatever. Well, one of the top reasons that people start looking at news is because of that, right? They want to know. And then the last thing I would talk about is that these guys are just saying to themselves, okay, look, I'm tired that when I work with you as my customer, that you're not coming back to me with anything that's going to make my world as it is today better. You're just not getting, when I have less and less reasons to meet with you, and so we used to have a quarterly meeting or a monthly meeting or whatever. Now I start to skip meetings, and I start to skip the longer meetings. And so where one is new ideas in a bigger kind of a bigger story, a bigger way, they're also looking for stories on little kinds of things that change and improve what we're doing right now. If the answer is that I'm not seeing that, it starts to feel like you never think about me, you never think about giving me any additional services, you never provide me any kind of incremental insights. And this other guy that's coming here, I'm getting phone calls from him and emails from him and all the rest of these kinds of things, and he's got these ideas that he says would save me 1%, 2%, 3% in expenses, not in price, but in expense. And so those are the kinds of things that have a big impact on whether or not you shoot yourself in the foot. These are the secret trust breakers that really cause problems.
Okay, so let me at the risk of being oversimplifying it here, your customer gets used to the experience, and it's up to you to maintain and enhance that experience of the relationship between the two of you.
That's exactly right.
Okay, great. One of the things you had mentioned as we prepared for the show was that it's a better strategy to sell larger companies, larger deals, than servicing and going after smaller companies. Why?
Well, there's a couple reasons. First, I really believe that we're going to start seeing this as being less of an option because of what you and I talked about a lot earlier, right? Mm-hmm. Because the fact is that they're going to move smaller transactional things into automated styles of making the purchasing decision, and middle-sized deals are going to move into the very specific procurement, purchasing, and RFP processes. So what's left going forward is that if you're a salesperson, you're going to have to sell bigger. So that's one of the reasons. The second thing is, and you know this and I know this, I'll bet everybody who's listening to this knows this, but hasn't really put the number to the piece of paper, and that is, what's the minimum frictional expense, regardless of size of account? There's an amount. It costs time. It costs distraction, regardless of whether they're buying $100,000 or $10,000 or millions of dollars. There's a certain frictional cost. Because our world is becoming more complex, enterprise resource planning systems, CRM systems, and supply chain management methodologies, compliance requirements for governance, all that stuff,
yep,
bumping up the minimum frictional expense of a new customer. And so by getting to a larger account, there's more margin left over from the process because you've got just that's just an amortization schedule, right? It's a larger amount of dollars against a smaller finite amount of pieces. I think that I would add one last piece on the larger size deals, and that is that I have found, and now through all of our clients, we've had about 700 clients, and I personally have been involved in so many of these particular deals, $6.5 billion worth of closed deals. Bigger deals, this is going to sound strange, Chris, when I say it, but your background may be like mine. Bigger deals are in some ways easier and faster to close than smaller deals.
Yep.
And because if you get to the higher level person and you're solving a big enough problem, who's more motivated to get that problem solved, you or the other person? Well, the other person. So they push just as hard as long as you can demonstrate that you are the safer, more effective solution. They need that problem to go away. And I like it. Smaller companies and smaller deals, unfortunately, what happens is that they get kind of wrapped up in the, gosh, I don't know if it'll work, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do next, and maybe I should just hold on to the solution I've got right now for another 3 months, and they're not able to move forward.
The smaller deal tends to want to study all the sides of the circle. They, for whatever reasons, maybe they're insecure, maybe they have budget constraints, but they tend to want more information, which may not be relevant, but they feel good, they feel as if they're doing something by asking. Whereas the larger deal, if you're in front of the right buyer, that person knows exactly what they want. They know what they want to hear from you pitching them and discussing your solution. And they're ready to pull the trigger because they're generally the right buyer.
Exactly.
Tom, we've got about 2.5 minutes left before we go to break. What can a business leader do today to create an explosive growth culture in their company?
You know, it's a great question, and so I'll try to give you the close piece on this. If you're the CEO or the COO or the owner of the business, you have to set the sense of safety of trying new things. So you have to say, what is the size of budget that we're willing to risk? What's the period of time over which we're willing to measure this? And if it doesn't work, how do we know that we learned something about it? Culturally, you have to lead from the front, because if you're going to teach the organization that they can change, change is risk. And so what is the organization's tolerance for risk? If every time that we take a risk, that doesn't mean you lose your job, but you lose face. You wind up getting kind of punished by your CEO or your owner or your boss and say, well, we did this because you said it was going to work, and now here we are, and it didn't work. And so, you're no longer credible. They don't fire you, but you get in one way or another either passively or actively humiliated. The organization learns really quickly. They may be talking with their mouth about risk and change, but with the way their behavior is, it tells me they really are afraid of risk and change. And if I take risk and change, I'm going to get in trouble.
No, you're right. You're right. It comes down to the leader at the top, if you will, establishing the boundaries and setting the rules of the game on the field of play, so to speak. Well, we're coming up on our next break. For those of you, again, you can contact me at chris@chrisruisi.com with your questions. And please feel free to call in. The number is 866-472-5790. And stay there. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And we're back for our last segment of Step Up and Play Big. I'm here with Tom Searcy, my guest, talking about what it takes to hunt big sales. Phone number, if you want to call in, 866-472-5790. My email address, if you want to email me a question, is chris@chrisruisi.com. You can get my book, Step Up and Play Big, How to Unlock Your Potential in 8 Simple Steps on Amazon. And after you buy my book, then I want you to put Tom's name in and go buy his book. And go from there. I'm sorry, Tom. You know, I'm dancing as fast as I can here. So, to kick off the next set, this last segment, Tom, how does personal motivation connect with success? And of the best performers you've met, where did it come from?
You know, personal motivation is critical. I mean, how else do you get up every single day, face the challenges of life, keep yourself focused from the distractions that are around you all the time and all of the bad things? And when I say bad things, I'm not talking about just drugs, alcohol, and all those kinds of things. I'm talking about bad things as far as just wasted time and energy. And mm-hmm. So I think personal motivation is enormous, you know, and there's so much good stuff out there about personal motivation. But for me, the issue, there's a lot of stuff written about goals and setting goals, and I think that that's important. But yeah. I would offer two other points that are more important than goals. And this may be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to tell you. The first one is intentionality. Whatever you are doing, knowing why you do what you do, I would say is higher than some infinitely large, infinitely far away goal. Having an infinitely far away goal is great, but the intentionality says, why am I doing what I'm doing this hour, this half hour, this week? So intentionality and knowing why you do what you do and why do you think about what you think about is really important. The second thing is discipline. So if you know why you do what you do and you know that you want to make a change, habits then become the discipline to make certain that you're capable of accomplishing whatever it is that you've chosen in your intentionality that you want to get done. And so I look at those things. If you've got intentionality and discipline, then achieving goals actually is a wonderful byproduct of those two core pieces inside of who you are. And so
I'm sorry, let me cut you off. But what you just said was it goes right to the heart of the matter, that you have to first be clear as to who do you need to be in order to be successful. You know, the old be, do, have formula. And the intentionality, the why you do something is what gets people engaged and helps to keep them engaged, at least I found from my experiences. And then the discipline is it's so much common sense that if you know what you have to do, you know why you're doing it, you start to focus on asking yourself questions. Is this the best use of my time? Is this the best use of my skills as it relates to where I'm trying to go? How it all fits in together. Tom, quick question. If you were a listener put yourself in the seat of the listener out there today, what would be the three biggest takeaways that if they listen to this show, What would you want the top three things for them to do differently after you and I sign off here?
Well, context number one, the context around all of it is that the world has changed and is changing in the world of selling. And so what I did in the past, I can't do in the future and get the same results. So that's the context. So then the three things I'd want them to do want everybody to do is first, you need to take what the size of your average target of opportunity that you're selling on the marketplace, and you need to set your sights higher. 5 to 10 times the size of that average size deal. So if you normally go out and sell somebody who is at $10,000 a year in purchase opportunities, I want you to be focusing on how do I go to $50,000 to $100,000 accounts as what I'm targeting. And then just obviously the rest of it is just math. Go up from there in there. So that would be the first thing, is you got to set that. The second thing is you've got to ask yourself, all right, who do I have to have on my team for those larger conversations, and who would those people from my team be talking to on the side of the company to which I'm speaking? And the third thing is, do I understand and what do I need to learn to know what are the really big problems of the biggest people inside of those target bases that are out there? If you can figure out those three things, right, who am I going after, who am I going to take with me, and what's the problem, the real problem that that bigger decision maker has that I can solve, that would be a great takeaway from today's conversation.
Okay. Tom, if people want more information from you, they can go to your website, which is huntbigsales.com.
Is that correct?
If anybody wants to drop you an email, what email address should they use?
They can use just Tom Searcy, S-E-A-R-C-Y, Tom Searcy, at huntbigsales.com.
Okay. Tom, one final, or maybe two, I'm not sure. Who are the people that were heroes to you in your past when you think about success in business and in sales?
My father, that sounds bad, but my father was first an engineer and an operations person who eventually went into sales, and I got a chance when I was young to drive with him and to be in some of the meetings that he had. He was generous, and he took us with him, and I learned an infinite amount from watching him, and he sold from listening, asking questions, and following more of an engineer's approach to selling than a traditional salesperson. So I would say he was probably the most. I think there's some other great ones that are out there, the Zig Ziglars and the Harvey McKays and et cetera. It tells you what my age is. Chris, you and I know who those people are. Maybe not everybody who's listening does. So.
No, I think everybody knows Zig Ziglar. I see his quotes every day on Facebook, and the poor guy has passed away, but his message lives on, which is a good thing, I guess. Okay. We're getting ready to start to wrap up here. So, Tom, I want to thank you so much for your time and expertise today. For those of you who have been listening, I hope you have lots of notes, and if you don't, you can come back in a couple hours and listen to the replay of the show. So I want to end now on my usual rant. And, we're going to talk about that on a typical day, week or month, all of us have things that we need to get done. We also have an equal amount of things that can best be described as distractions. And, the stuff that gets in the way and pulls us in every which way we can other than the right way. More times than that, we get pulled into solving other people's problems, or worse yet, we get seduced, that's a great word by the way, by the shiny object syndrome, something that looks better than it really is. So I want to give you 5 simple steps as we close out today on how to stay focused and get the right things done. Number one, start the day with the question, what's the one thing that I can and should do today that'll get me closer to my goal or desired result? Work on that thing during the day and get it complete. Next, create a one-time list of all high-value activities and projects and focus on those so that when you do get distracted, you go back to that list and pick out the one that has the most relevance to you at that time. Next, take a small, less than 10-minute break during the day, maybe once in the morning, once in the afternoon, to give yourself a chance to change the scenery, clear your mind, and then give yourself the opportunity to validate that you're working on the right things. And number five is learn to say no to those trivial things and to those people who are fighting for your time and not allowing you to use your time. So it's been a great day. And for more information on my book, please go to Amazon.com or go to my website, www.chrisruisi.com. When you get to my website, be sure to sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call. It comes out every Monday morning at 7:30, and it has just one particular topic which will be helpful to you that week, the next month, whatever. But if you don't like what I send you, you know, you can opt out. So I want to thank you all for listening in. I've had a great show here with Tom, and come on back to me on next Wednesday, May 28th, and we'll have another exciting guest. So thanks, everybody, and go out there and make something happen and step up and play big.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.